Presidential politics has been the subject of many motion pictures over the years, most of them surprisingly unsuccessful and now forgotten. Veteran broadcaster Robert Trout says one deserves to be remembered. It's the 1947 film The Senator Was Indiscreet.
It was written by Charles MacArthur. It was the only film ever directed by George S. Kaufman, and it should be a comedy classic. But The Senator Was Indiscreet was not an easy comedy of pratfalls. It was a smart, observant satire with a believable premise and dangerous intentions. Maybe that's why audiences avoided it. Satire mocks its targets in subversive ways. It ridicules appearances by making itself an accessory to reality, then stands back and lets reality subvert itself. The less outrageous it pretends to be, the more subversive it becomes. But subversive was a dangerous word back in 1947. Americans were not ready to be told that electing a president was like advertising cigarettes or toothpaste.
He's got about as much chance of being nominated for the presidency as Abbott and Costello. You tell him for me the joke's over.
How do you know it's a joke? Boss, I was in the advertising business once, so believe me, if you can sell the American public the idea that one cigarette is different from another, that one toothpaste is better than another, you can sell them anything, even Mel Ashton.
That was Peter Lind Hayes. He played a public relations man and was more central to the picture than William Powell's Senator Ashton. Kaufman's tale is about an inept senator with presidential ambitions and a secret diary of party intrigues going back 35 years. It was also about the trinity of American politics, press, PR, and party. Along the way, there were many tart observations on presidents and their making. Herewith a few examples. Senator Ashton on the ethics of patronage.
There's one thing you can't say about me, Fred. I have never put one man or woman on the public payroll who was not my own blood kin. Mrs. Ashton's, anyway.
Or party boss Charles Brown on being a candidate.
And another thing, what's the idea of telling those reporters that you're not a candidate for the nomination?
Because I'm not, that's why.
Then stop denying it. No member of the party has the right to deny that he's a candidate unless he is a candidate. An idiot child knows that.
It's an easy code, really. It's one of the reasons the rest of the world finds our system so engagingly perplexing.
Ladies and gentlemen, I cannot put this too strongly. I am not a candidate for the presidency. But!
Except for the phrases, quite frankly, and in all humility, I suspect that but is the most frequently used word in American politics. Without it, our government might well fall silent, stilled by a paralyzing want of ambiguity. But.
But if the voice of the people, of these United States, if that voice should ring out over the land and say to me, come! Then I can only bow my head and say, in all humility, I will.
It was not our hero's humility that would persuade the party boss, though. It was his diary.
Would you be interested in the fact that I keep a diary? I've kept it every day now for something like 35 years.
Well, what do you put in it? Who you dance with?
I put everything in it. Everything. Everything.
Everything?
Not everything. Every single thing. Like Boston. Like Boston. But not like Denver. In detail. Where is it? I have it. Where is it, you wooden-headed lump?
In a show of discretion, we never learn the details of Boston or Denver, but the rule is clear enough. In politics, information is power, whether in a diary or an audio tape. As the senator said,
owning a nice little diary is like owning a nice little atom bomb. even if you never do anything with it. It's a comfort just to know it's there.
When the diary turns up missing, we get a glimpse of political damage control in action.
It's gone, Fred. Stolen sometime this evening.
Joe.
Yes?
Get on the phone in the other room.
Right, Chief.
Plan A.
Roger.
Frank.
Here.
Plan B, the committee.
Right. What are you going to do?
It's an alert, but only the yellow so far.
Think we'll need the red?
I don't know yet.
What's the red?
That's for when they're coming after you with ropes.
Before the ropes, though, there would be escape.
Mel?
Huh?
I've got a very unpleasant duty to perform. You've got to resign.
Resign? From the United States Senate?
By wire.
Oh, you mean you don't think the boys would whitewash me?
Mel, if that diary's ever published, you'll be lucky if they don't drop you from the top of the Washington Monument.
Don't you understand, old man? You're a dead duck, pal, no matter what happens now. So for the sake of the party, your party, the party that's been like a mother to both of us, why don't you face it and very quietly get the heck out?
Resignation is easy, of course. It's the practicalities that are tough.
How am I going to live?
Why, off your interest, of course.
What interest?
The interest on your capital.
What capital?
What capital? You mean to say you've been in politics for 30 years and haven't any capital?
Well, how could I have, Fred? How did I know that income tax bill meant me, too?
In 1947, Senator Ashton's resignation was imagined in the exaggerated spirit of satire. But Wayne Hayes, Spiro Agnew, Richard Nixon, Gary Hart, Bob Packwood, Newt Gingrich, Bob Livingston, and the long parade of Senator Ashton's who have come since have not been so fortunate. The senator was indiscreet was a hilarious fantasy in 1947. If it seems less fanciful in 2000, we cannot blame George S. Kaufman, only our own indiscretions.
And I submit, ladies and gentlemen, public office is a public trust. 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 Public office is a public trust.
And now, in conclusion.
William Powell's portrayal of Senator Mel Ashton from the 1947 movie The Senator was indiscreet. Robert Trout prepared our appreciation of the film.